Welcome to the Time to Thrive podcast, a podcast designed to help you level up every aspect in your life. I am one of your hosts, Jordan.
And I'm Jared. We are a multi-passionate couple so excited about helping others thrive in their health, wealth, relationships, and careers.
Together, we are here to share with you knowledge, experiences, tips, and tricks to help you step into your fullest potential while also keeping it real.
If you're ready to create the life of your dreams and have fun doing it, then you've come to the right place. So hit that subscribe button and press play, because baby, it's time to thrive.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the Time to Thrive podcast. We are doing a solo episode today with Andrew Logan. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown on who I am talking with today, because honestly, I'm very excited for this conversation. So Andrew, he graduated in 2004 as a physiotherapist, and he followed the traditional path. He got a good job, progressed into a small business, bought some investment properties, and he wanted to retire at the end of the day. But he continued to go down that path, and he began to question what he was really doing and if that path that was walked so many times by so many people was going to provide him the lifestyle of freedom and the travel that he was looking for in the time frame that he wanted. And that was the key. So he began to search. He began to search to figure out how he was going to get out of this rat race. So in 2013, Andrew discovered network marketing, and he was extremely skeptical in the beginning. But in 2014, his wife became pregnant, and he decided to take a real look at what this business had to offer. So 2 years later, him and his wife, they both retired from the 9-to-5. They grew their business and they got out of that rat race. 7 years later, they reached the pinnacle rank in their company and are top 5 earners, multiple award winners, and have a team of over 60,000 people in 11 countries, and have generated $20 million in sales, earning over $4 million in commission. He's an author, he's a father, and he's a professional network marketer. And I'm so excited for you to be here today. So let's dive in.
Yeah, absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, so the first thing I wanted to kind of get into was a little bit about yourself. Like, who is Andrew and how did you get into the network marketing space?
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for the introduction. As I said, it was, as you said in there, it was this, you know, I was at school, I was academically strong, you know, from a young age. And I just had one of those brains that seemed to hold information fairly well. And so you're growing up and everyone's like, you're smart, go be a doctor. Doctors make lots of money. And, you know, looking back all those years later, did I actually want to be a doctor, or did just every single person in my life tell me from when I was 5 years old kind of stuff that you should be a doctor? And it was obviously all well-intentioned. And my parents had come from a very traditional university, white collar, hard work, you know, just work your butt off. And we never wanted for anything growing up, but we also never had a lot of time or freedom. We never had international holidays growing up. We took little holidays an hour or two down the road kind of stuff. So I had this path, and I'm like, actually, is this path really what's going to give me the life I wanted? Because, you know, I was watching it with my parents and how hard they worked, and I was sitting there going down this university path, and a couple of things happened. And, you know, there wasn't like one snap point, but I did take a year off and travel. And that's when you start thinking, oh, well, how do I see the world more? There's more than just university and a job. And so that was obviously planting a seed in my mind. I also stupidly broke my thumb kicking a ball around with some mates when I was in 2004. I was in my final year of university. And as silly as that sounds, it was a real lesson that as a physiotherapist and I wanted to be a surgeon, that was kind of the, you know, again, like surgeons make the most money, so end up down there. Your one slip while you're kicking a footy around with the mates from breaking your hand, and then you can't work for 3 months. And, you know, as a physiotherapist, I could not do anything because it was my right dominant hand. I couldn't even write charts for 3 months.
That's the thing, right? Is like, so my wife, Jordan, she's a dentist, and she says the same thing every time. It's just like, if you all of a sudden one day she breaks her hand, well, she's now out of work. So how are we going to be able to figure out a way to, even if she does break her hand, be able to continue on with that kind of journey, right? So carry on.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, this is the safe option. I'm like, I'm one, you know, one football kick away from not being safe. So that's how I started down the path. And admittedly, I was actually introduced to network marketing in around that same time, 2004. And a very, very huge company now. It was, you know, it was early days of this company. It's a very big company now. And it's absolutely nothing against the company. It was me. I was the wrong person. It was the wrong time. And, you know, I didn't have a level of personal development. I didn't have the right mindset. And I stuck around in this opportunity for 2 or 3 months and made no money. So I quit. And anyway, I went off and did all these other things. I went and tried all these other crazy side hustles. And I learned how to trade currencies and commodities. I wrote a book about back pain because I was a physio and I was seeing people all day. I tried to create like a travel website because I was trying to travel more, all these things. And I would make some money. I'd lose some money. I'd make some money. I'd lose some money. And then eventually, yeah, network marketing came in and it was really just, we fell backwards into it because I was trying to lose some weight for our wedding. But once it actually triggered on of, hang on, here is a cash flow vehicle. And we talk about this whole, you know, residual income and financial freedom, but the engine of network marketing is the leverage that you can create and the cash flow. And yeah, as you know, you would know, like when you have a traditional business, I mean, I dropped a lot of money into getting a traditional business. And if you profit 15 to 20%, you're crushing it. Whereas in network marketing, I started for $500 and I made $100 in my first week. And I'm like, I've made 20% in my first week. And like the outside noise is, you only made $100 and you're making six figures elsewhere. And I'm like, no, I made 20%.
I made 20%. I love that mindset. Investment
immediately. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I just, a couple of friends were like, oh, well, if you're giving it a try, we'll do it with you. So that was when it was like this, it was this mindset shift because, you know, I'd had that sort of traditional thing of hotel meetings and circles on whiteboards and, you know, like it was just a bit icky back then. But now we had the internet, we had social media, we had Wi-Fi, we had this world opening up where it was easier to communicate with people and build those relationships. And I realized that, hang on, this isn't about actually like building a network marketing business. This is about this incredible vehicle of creating cash flow. And if I can get cash flow, I can start to change my life, because that's what really allows us choice and freedom, is having cash flow in our life. And so that's once we saw that, we were just off. We're off the races.
See, that's such a good way of putting it, right? Like creating cash flow to be able to expand your life. At the end of the day, if you want to do anything in life, you're going to need cash. And that's why, like, yes, you can say the quote that money doesn't buy you happiness. Sure. You know what? It might not. But what it does allow you to purchase is it allows you to buy options in your life. And at the end of the day, those options that we're choosing to either go on a vacation or pay for kids' hockey or put that new car in the driveway, if that's what you like, those options are what makes you happy, right? Mm. So why not try and figure out a path that's going to be allowing you to create more options in your life, instead of thinking, well, if we go down this path every 2 weeks, we're going to be able to get a paycheck and hopefully pay off some of our bills, right? And that's the tough part that a lot of people don't see. For you, for myself, for a lot of people that are listening, they end up seeing that when we decide to be able to kind of flip our life into the positive aspect of what can we do to access more, is when we start to realize like there's so many options out there, no matter what industry you're in.
Yeah, I love Jim Rohn says it well, you know, money isn't everything, but it ranks right up there with oxygen. And people sit there and say, oh, you know, I don't need money, blah, blah. It's like, well, you've got to pay your bills. Like next time you say I don't care about money, fill your trolley up at the local shop grocery store.
Yep.
And push it through the checkout and say, oh, don't charge me anything because I don't really care about money. Like, I'm not into money. Like, see how long you last. And
you're not going to last very long.
We've got to be realistic, don't we? That I did a reel about this just you know, last night. Like, it's, well, money doesn't buy happiness, but it's bought us, you know, trips around the world, taking our kids to Canada skiing, to Europe for Disneyland, to Scotland to see their family heritage, to live in the US for a while, to, you know, to take my wife and I on, you know, beautiful anniversary trips to the Maldives and Thailand and Bali and all those sorts of things. Like, that money bought us memories and time together and experiences. And yeah, it's not about the money. It's about the life that you get to lead when your money is there for you.
I completely agree. So to kind of go into it now, when you were building, when you were growing and all of these things were coming through, like, how did you identify like positive changes that were about to occur in your business, positive leaders that were coming through? Were you a person that really dove in and saw a person for what they were worth, or were you able to see the potential that was behind them?
Leadership is a fascinating topic. I mean, we could talk 5, 6, 7 hours
forever
about this. I just love it. And it's funny actually, and when we started, it was sort of that ignorance on fire and, you know, every master was once a disaster. And we hit a point in our business where certainly, you know, we'd gotten Angie home and out of the business. And then it was like, you know, we sort of had this 12-month goal to get me out of the business as well. And it was just pure churn. Like, it was hustle. And again, we were learning along our way. And I went to university for 4 years just to learn how to treat the human body. So it was like, you're probably going to need 4 years before you figure out this network marketing thing as well. That was my mindset. But we're about 2 and a bit years in. And I remember we hit a point in our business where we were stuck. And, you know, we were stuck at $300,000 a year. And no one's crying for us when you're stuck at 300,000. You know, everyone's like, well, hey, you're doing really well. But it was like, no, something's missing. And it was that leadership topic. And we could create a lot of business builders. We could create a lot of people that were following our systems and doing the do. But we weren't able to create leaders. And I started diving into this topic. I started reading a lot of books and all that about leadership and trying to figure out like what was the difference, because we hear phrases like, oh, you're just a natural born leader. And it's like, so do people just come out born leaders, or can you learn and can you develop and can you identify? So once I went down that path of really figuring out how I saw leadership, and as you say, it's not really about ranks or titles or volume or production. It's about personality traits of initiative, drive, of work ethic, of discipline. And I shifted my mindset of, instead of trying to find people who can produce and teach them how to care for a team, why not find people who have discipline, work ethic, innovation, like initiative, all those things, and teach them our simple business model? And once we sort of shifted that, that's then when our business tripled and we went up and we started hitting that sort of 7-figure mark, because we sat there and like, instead of actually trying to just create, like focus on numbers and production, which is important, and we're going to have systems and tools for people who just want to follow, in the same way when I had my traditional business, we had systems and tools for the employees who just wanted to come in. They clocked in at 8, they clocked out at 5, and they didn't want to do anything else. But then you also had your people who would come in early, who would stay late, who would take that extra patient over lunch. And it's like, okay, we're going to identify those people with the extra work ethic and teach them this incredibly simple business model. And that was the shift that was huge for us. But and again, leadership, it started with me figuring out my own place and stepping into my own leadership. And once we did that, yeah, we in 12 months, we tripled our business and we really were able to change our lives from there.
So, you know, it's nice that you talk about that too, because for us, like, we really hone in on the systems and the training and creating your own systems and really focusing on how are you going to be able to get the maximum output from somebody for them to realistically not have to go and find the solution themselves or have to go and rebuild the wheel. Like, I want to be able to have someone talk with them, show them the business plan, teach them the systems and the trainings, have them jump in and be able to go through it super seamlessly. And at the end of the day, you can go through like a cog in a wheel and get 300 people to come and do your business with you. But realistically, what you have to think about, and like you're saying, is do I want that? Or do I want to be able to develop true leaders that are able to kind of help themselves find that solution? So my question for you on that is, we kind of like tapped on it a little bit, but do you think that leaders are born or do you think that they're developed?
They're identified and mentored. I think the big thing obviously is that a leader won't follow. So I think Well, any leader you speak to will say, like, a mentor came in and changed my life. I think, again, they are born with these innate characteristics of who they are morally and who they are ethically and all those sorts of things. But then there's going to be someone, and there is the great question of how do I find more leaders? And I always say to people, look, if you show up, a leader will find you, because the leader isn't sitting around saying, someone lead me. The leader is like, someone mentor me. And they're looking around for that person to link arms with, because again, they don't want to follow. So I think the one of the big things we've always got to remember is that Forbes did a study years ago, and they studied tens of thousands of people in the corporate workplace, but still a huge study, a huge cross-section of people. And they found that 98% of people were very happy to just show up and do what they're told. Only 2%.
That's crazy.
Only 2% of people had any kind of desire to do more, or like want to, or have any kind of like of that initiative and drive. Now, again, that's a cross section of people in an employment situation, but we can come into this business and like, I'm a leader and I'm going to have hundreds and hundreds of leaders and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you're probably going to have 4 or 5 really deep down. And you said it before, and it's sort of, you're going to have people who follow your systems, and they're your customers, and they're your kind of part-timers and your sharers. You're going to have people who promote and teach the systems, and they're your business builders. And then you're going to have people who evolve the systems, and they're your leaders. Because, you know, again, 12 years ago when I started, you know, our company was very new in the country. Network marketing itself was very new. You could just walk up and say, hey, have you heard of XYZ? Have you heard of network marketing? 12 years ago, you could create a Facebook page, Andrew and Angie's network marketing business page, and you'd invite all your friends and you'd spam the post with products, spam the page with products.
And people would buy.
And then I remember being at our very first event, and someone got up and said, have you guys heard of this thing called Zoom? And I'm like, no, what's this thing called Zoom? Because we were originally doing our team calls on the phone, a free conference call. Wow. And yeah, that's how old I am. And but it was like, you know, clap for Jared. He had a rank advancement and everyone had hit the number 5, you know, do. That was how we like clap for you getting your rank advancement. But
that's amazing.
Again, if we go back 20 years when I was first introduced to network marketing, and I'm really showing my age here, for some people, we used to have to pay per text message we sent. You know, that was the olden days, that it was 25 cents a text message or something like that. And I think you even had to pay to receive them in the early days. You send and receive a text message cost you money. But if you're trying to lead a team of 50 people and you've got to text every single person, hey, we've got a meeting at such and such hotel tonight, and that just costs you $15, $20 to send out those text messages. Mm-hmm. From a cash flow point of view, when you're bare bones in your business and it's costing you $20, $30 just to announce a team event. So the point is that like social media evolves, your team evolves, the production evolves, and that's where your leaders are going to come in and say, hey, look, yeah, we were doing it that way, but there's this new thing called TikTok, so we need to shift. And who knows what will come next year that maybe like TikTok goes away and something else. Clubhouse was fun for 5 minutes and everyone shifted to Clubhouse.
It was fun for 5 minutes. That was a very cool platform.
You know, there was Periscope for 2 minutes, and then Facebook like, oh, we'll just do Facebook Live, and Periscope died. But again, it was, you know, we went from hotel meetings to Facebook pages to, you know, Facebook groups to team calls on Zoom and onto Instagram Reels and you know, the evolution. So you do need people. There are people who are just going to very happily follow your systems. And again, that's great. That's probably 98% of people in general in life are either going to just follow it or follow it well enough to promote it. And then you've just got to find those 2% who are like, you know what, actually I want more. And we're going to teach them how to teach the systems, teach them how to grow the systems. And our mantra when we made that mindset shift those years ago was teach, then we can go lay on the beach. So I'm going to spend a couple of years teaching our people how to teach people how to teach people, you know, mm-hmm. and it takes, you know, kitchen table, sitting around, it's, you know, small group kind of stuff. But if we teach people how to teach people how to teach people, Then we have a business that can actually run pretty much on autopilot, and then we can go lay on the beach. Then we can go enjoy our
Yeah,
lives.
and it takes a long time to get there, right? It's not an overnight thing, and you put in a lot of blood, sweat, tears, your own kind of not actual monetary equity, but your own time equity, which is even more important than most of the time. And you really look at it and you say, okay, wow, I put in 4 years of my life to be able to create a business that is now exploded way greater than if I would have done a blender juice bar or whatever, and some brick and mortar where it's taken me 5 years to even break even. And I think the thing is that what a lot of people didn't realize was, like, when online marketing came out, it was starting to eliminate that brick and mortar. And now everyone has an online business. Everyone is always selling something. And I think the thing is that not a lot of people realize that they're selling every single day. But then you talk about network marketing in front of it, and they think, oh no, I can't sell. And it's like, well, didn't you give me a recommendation for a great restaurant the other day? Yeah. Well, you sold me to go there. Those shoes that you were wearing at the gym that I ended up going and buy, well, you sold me those because they look cool. But we don't realize it from like an aspect of that we're actually doing the selling. When you go into leadership, and what you were talking about too, when you were saying like there are people that kind of follow you, and in our business, we like to ask people, do you think you're going to be a runner? Do you think you're going to be a jogger? Do you think you're going to be a sprinter or a walker? And I love when people say, I'm just going to be a walker and like slowly share the products and maybe talk about the business. Because those end up being the people that you can teach and develop in such a great way. Whereas when someone says, I'm going to come guns a-blazing and I'm going to sprint and I'm going to get to the top 1% of this company in a year, mark my words, they're here for a month and they're gone, right? Because they don't see that. It's the immediate gratification that they're just trying to find.
There's an inverse, isn't it? Yeah, I've always found that the more someone tells me what they're going to do, the less they seem to actually do. It's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It's quite fascinating. So when you're building and when you're growing your business, doesn't matter like at what kind of stage it is, like how did you really define your time and prioritize like between your personal growth, mentoring your team, growing the business? Like how did you manage it all?
Yeah, this is such a great question, and something, you know, a frequently asked question that people always come to you with is time management. And I'll probably say one thing first, and then I'll talk about, you know, how I've always scheduled my day and how I train it, because there's a few different ways to train it. But I want to talk about this concept of balance first, because there's always this thing about how do I find more balance? I want to grow my team. I want to grow my business, but I need to find more balance. And the reality is if you're balanced, you're not moving. You know, if you're standing on one foot, and like from a biomechanical musculoskeletal point of view, because that's my background, if I'm perfectly balanced, my body is not moving. And if your life is balanced, that also means your life is staying exactly the same. So people will, in the general world out there, they will go and, you know, go to night school or go and get an extra degree or go, you know, go study online, and they'll sacrifice time there so that then they can go off and make more money later. But they're still selling their time for money. They're just making a little bit more. So they're like, well, I'm going to unbalance this way so I can get a bit more unbalanced this way later. Now I'm, you know, a friend of mine passed away recently. One of my very best friends just tragically, and we're doing a big run in his
Sorry
honor
to hear that.
Soon. Yeah, it was a, you know, it kind of knocks you around, because he could run a marathon in 2 hours 25. He was a fit, healthy guy, and it just, you know, it's crazy how it all happened. Anyway, the point is we're doing like a big charity fundraiser run for his family, and I'm organizing it and I'm leading it. Now I lift weights, you know, and what do you do for cardio? Well, I lift weights as quickly as possible. So I have to unbalance my training now a different way. Like I've got to say, okay, well, I've got to put the weights down, and because I'm leading this thing, I've got to start actually. And this morning, and I was like, man, you got to get up and start running up and down those hills out the back of the house, because you know you got to start running this thing, right? So I'm going to train for something. I've got to unbalance my training. If you eat too much at Christmas and you unbalance one way, you got to unbalance the other way. Point of the story is with network marketing, if you build a business with residual income, and especially if you take care of it and you learn that making money is only the first step, you've got to learn how to put your money to work and send it off. Because if you send it off, it comes home with more friends. And then you create these wealth loops and you create true financial freedom. Angie and I unbalanced our life for a number of years. So when we started and we talk about roll into the time management thing, I was running a physio practice. I'm working 50, 60 hours a week. Angie was working her sort of, you know, permanent part-time job. We were homeschooling our daughter and she's pregnant with Jack as well. Like, this was all what was happening for us when we're starting. It wasn't like we were twiddling our thumbs like, hey, what, like, let's like, we got so much spare time in our life. So it was like, okay, where can we unbalance elsewhere? You know what? Maybe I don't have time to go to the gym 4 to 5 times a week. I'm just going to go one or two. And yes, I won't be as purely healthy as I can, but I can find that time later. And, you know, maybe we can sacrifice here. And we unbalanced our lives for a number of years. And now we lead this ridiculously unbalanced life the other way, where we get up, we have a couple of things that we need to do each day just to make sure everything's going fine. And then we get hours and hours and hours of choice. And thanks to residual income, you get this incredibly unbalanced life as far as the amount of money you make versus the amount of time you put in, but only if you're willing to live an unbalanced life for a while. So stop asking for balance, first thing, because you're saying—
like, I love that. Yeah. I love that so much, because I think the issue that so many people think about now is like the balanced lifestyle, the free and the flowy business that they all want. And it's like, the thing is that every single Instagram person that is out here talking about living your business in a flowy state spent years building and grinding for hours and hours on end to be able to have this balance on the other side. Yes, your teeter-totter is now balanced, but there was once a time where there was an elephant on one side and you were sitting on the other, and you were way up there trying to be like, how do I make this thing level out?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. And it's like, it's, you know, I love to train, you know, the thing I really love to train is sort of, you know, the financial mindset and helping people again really see like the cash flow and the return on investment and really understanding. And it's the same thing where people say, oh, you know, my friend just, you know, they have all these investments and all this kind of stuff, and it's all just, you know, it's all just so amazing. And it's like, yeah, hear their backstory, because they didn't, you don't just have wealth. You have this like boring, methodical business. And we have to understand that you can't look at the result and the process in the same light. The process of running a business does involve repetition. It does involve discipline. It does involve doing the same thing, taking people through the same process. The brand new person that comes in who's never heard of network marketing, who's never heard of your products, who's never heard of anything, you're 10, 12, 15, 20 years down the track in this business. That person's been in for 10 minutes. You've got to take them through this methodical process. You've got to take them through this system. And we can get a bit like, oh, that's boring. I've been doing that for 10 years. I'm going to go off and do all this crazy stuff. And it's like, no, if you discipline yourself to do the methodical, then you get to experience this incredible, amazing life. The result allows you all this freedom and choice, but the process has to be boring. And, you know, boring has a negative energy to it, but it has to be, you have to be focused on doing the same thing. Because, yeah, 12 plus years in this business, if someone came to me tomorrow, they've been in for 12 seconds. I need to go right back there and walk them through that process. So when it comes to a time management point of view, here we are getting distracted talking about time management. But irony, right? But the I don't know if you meant to do this, but like the way you sort of summed it up is the way that I train. And when I started, I read Eric Worre's GoPro, because that was, you know, that was certainly the Bible. And you know, Eric's still an incredible guy, and I've got to hang out with him at times. But his GoPro was obviously like really the revolutionary book a decade ago. And anyway, he talks about 6 skills in GoPro. So you got to find people, networking. You got to talk to them, marketing and sales. You've got to support and build your team. You've got to invite and promote events. You've got to build belief in yourself and your company, your compensation plan and what you do. And you've got to become a better you, personal development. So I looked at those 6 skills when I was brand new and trying to figure out how do I do this. And I really identified them as 3 separate sections. So finding people and talking to them, you know, networking and marketing, network marketing, they're directly income producing activities. I can control what I say. I can control what I say, how often I say it, and who I say it to. They are three things that I can control. The second two, building a team and like supporting the team and inviting to events, they're indirectly income producing. So I can invite you to an event, Jared, but I don't know if you're going to take action after the event. We can sit beside each other in the exact same event, hear all the speakers, but I don't know if you're going to go out and do anything afterwards. Now, I can control if I invited you, but I can't control what you did afterwards. And in the same way, like I can control if I do a Zoom call and train you on the compensation plan, but I can't control if you actually open your mouth afterwards. So they're indirectly income producing activities. We need to do them, but I can't control the result. I can just control the process it. And then finally, building belief and personal development, they're non-income producing activities. They are very important, but your company owner doesn't ring you and say, Jared, how many podcasts did you listen to this week? And you're like, seven. Like, oh, here's $700, right? But you, like, personal development doesn't magically make you better. It gives you better skills so that when you do these income producing activities, you're better. So given that, I divided my day into three halves, and I still do this today. Obviously, just the, you know, the times are different. But when we started, and again, I'm getting up at 5 to go to the gym before work, I'm treating patients from like 7 till 6. There's not a huge amount of time. So you're looking for those pockets. So there was 30 minutes at the start of each day between finishing at the gym and my first patient to sit down and actively reach out and initiate conversations. Jared, mate, haven't seen you in a while. You popped up on my on my Facebook. Just wanted to reach out. How's things? How's the family? Bob, how you been? I went for a run this morning and I was thinking of you because, you know, this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm actively just starting conversations, reaching out and connecting with people. And again, if it's your content creation, if you're more in the attraction marketing space, sitting down, creating that content, who is my audience? What are their struggles? What can I give of value to them? How do I put that out there and put it in front of their face, right? All those things, I do those in my first block of the day. Now, again, I've got 12 hours a day to fill, so, but it's still the first block of my day because that's when my energy is at its highest. So I'm going to focus on the things that I can actively control. Then I'm going to have a little break, or in the olden days, I'd go off and I'd treat patients for a while. Then I'd have my lunch break. So there's my next 30-minute little stint. Then I'm going to check in on the team. How are you going? Oh, it's day three. How's things? Hey, we've got this event coming up this weekend. Are you coming along? Oh, okay. Oh, you got, well, what if we give you a lift, you know, problem solving, all those sorts of things. And then in the evening, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read a book. I'm going to listen to a podcast or something on the drive home. Again, I'm older than podcasts. We listen to audio recordings of events and stuff, but that was, you know, that's just how you scheduled your day. Now, if I then got home and, you know, our daughter, we spent some time, you know, she'd do her homeschooling. We'd put her to bed. If there was still a bit of energy, okay, like let's connect with some more people. Let's like just go through the process again. There's 30 more minutes. I'll spend 10 minutes, 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes reading before I go off to sleep. But it was always about when my energy is at its highest, I'm going to focus on the things that actually directly build my business. Then I'm going to focus on the things that indirectly, and then I'm going to focus on the things that build me, but don't actually bring money into ourselves. And again, still to this day, 12 years later, boringly, that's still how I schedule my day.
See, and it's such a good way to be scheduling it though, right? Because at the end of the day, like you're starting your day with what is going to produce money, okay? You're starting with the most important tasks and you're getting those things checked off your list so that you feel like you have that accomplishment at the beginning of the day. For me, like this is my full-time job. I still wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. People are like, why are you waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym when you have all day to go to the gym? It's like, because if I don't go to the gym at 5 in the morning, I'm not going to feel like going to the gym at 6 o'clock at night or at 2 in the afternoon. Like, it's just not how my brain works. So that part's done, checked off, come home, sit down, have my breakfast and like do a bunch of work. And it feels like you go through 3 days because you're waking up so early and you're doing all these things. But like the way that you're saying is time blocking and cutting your day into the blocks that you want is critical. when it comes down to it. So that way, at least you, when you could say, hey, this is my piece for XYZ. It doesn't matter if that's for meditation or if that's for really doing your business work. Some people are night owls and they flip it the other way around, but it's whatever's going to work for you. And that's an unreal way to be thinking about it.
Yeah. I was just going to say the really cool thing you said there as well is the freedom is in your schedule. And it, like that whole paradox again, because you're scheduled, you have freedom. People are like, oh, I just want to wake up and just choose to do my day however I want. And then their business tanks. Like the freedom actually comes from having the schedule, exactly what you say. And yeah, I'm the same. I get up, hit the gym first thing, walk the dog, jump in the ice bath. And then it's like, okay, right, let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm alert. I'm high energy. And the one super thing quickly, just network marketing attracts a lot of, you know, caring personalities. And it's like, I need to take care of the team first. You're giving your energy to other people. And now all of your results, all of your energy is in someone else's hands. And that's when we just end up and you just end up in this kind of roller coaster of, I got this really bad rejection. Oh, tell me more about it. And then like your day starts down there and it's really hard to get yourself out of it.
You end up becoming a therapist at times, right? Because
yeah, adult daycare. Like
yeah. And like you said, it's like if you don't have those blockings and you have just a day that's going to be kind of figured out as we go, all of a sudden you look at the end of the day and you say, wow, I got absolutely nothing accomplished because I had to go and be a therapist for Susie and deal with this for Tim and go deal with that for Bob and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I've just been a customer service agent for 8 hours. Like, might as well go work for some company, right? So yeah, there's that big aspect of like being able to really implement that yourself. When we talk about business strategies, okay, and we talk about sustainable businesses and scalability, network marketing is such a funny one because the goal is to create a sustainable business, but you see people scale very fast. You see people leave businesses very fast. You see people 1 year, you don't see them again. What's your kind of viewpoint on being able to build a sustainable business and keeping the business sustainable?
Yeah, it comes back to one of the classic paradox again is that freedom comes from reliability. And you know, we do a lot of investing, and again, that's a big thing of us was that we're not multimillionaires because of network marketing. We're multimillionaires because I learned how to invest my money, and we use the cash flow from network marketing to just hyper accelerate those investments. So, but when it comes to our investments are just like is property and like boring stocks in reliable companies that pay good dividends. And we don't, you know, we have small little dabbles with 2-5% of our thing, but 95% of our money is put into reliable things because every single week I know X amount of money is going to come in from our properties. And I can literally take that to the bank. And that reliability means that I have the freedom. A lot of people, like you say, it's like, I made $1,000 this week. I made $50 this week. I got a bonus the next week and I made zero the week after. And there's no freedom if your income is very schizophrenic. It's, you know, it's like, I remember joking, like in the early days, like intermittent fasting is really cool. I was intermittent fasting because my income was intermittent. You know, that was kind of like, well, I can afford food this week, you know, like in those early hustle days, you know, when you're in those really early hustle days and I'm making money and losing money back before I found network marketing. So we come again to this thing of people want, you know, the excitement of freedom. The paradox does, it comes from the reliability of a strong business, strong investments, and in our case, both. And if we look at it from a business point of view, you need three things. You need reliable systems, you need reliable processes, and reliable people using those systems and processes. Because again, if your systems are unreliable, if your people are unreliable, and I remember a lady reached out to me a while back and she's like, you know, I'm a great producer. I want to learn to be a great leader. Can you help me become a great leader? And I was like, okay, let's book a Zoom call. And she didn't show up on the Zoom call. And she got the time zones wrong. So, okay, you know, we all make mistakes. Let's rebook it next week. Oh, sorry, I slept through. I had a nap and I didn't set my alarm. Third one, oh, I got the days wrong. By the fourth one, I was like, hey, I think I know why you can't find leaders, because I can't rely on you to show up for an appointment that you set. So again, like we talk about this, like I want leaders. Leaders are the most reliable people in your business. Leaders are the people who show up every single time. They are there when they said they were going to be there. They do what they say they're going to do. Be impeccable with your word, as in like Don Miguel Ruiz, the four agreements. One of the four agreements to a greater life is be impeccable with your words. So we come back to like what makes a great, strong business is a very strong foundation. And obviously we do want those business builders, because business builders lead to growth. But the sustainability of reliable customers, reliable processes, reliable people using reliable systems is what gives us the residual. And we need to understand that as much as we want to build the big skyscraper, you've got to build the deep foundation first. And so I think, again, where people can get wrong, and especially in the financial world, there's a lot of, you know, stuff out there. You can make $1 million from an imaginary coin with a picture of a dog on it. Like, It's the wild, wild west out there at the moment.
It is the wild, wild west.
And everyone's like, how come you don't have your money in those wild, wild west things? I'm like, because I've got money reliably paying me more money weekly, yep, monthly, quarterly, and I know it's coming in. Yeah, like, okay, that's pretty cool, but I don't know if it'll be around tomorrow. So I'm going to have this incredibly free life because I'm willing to be boring and reliable in the processes.
Exactly. I love that. And like growing wealth and growing a business, it does need to be a bit boring. It does, because at the end of the day, like you have a business that is going to be around for a long time. You've grown it and you've been able to sustain it. So now it's, how do I keep this sustained business where it is and continuing to grow? When you look at your beginnings and you look at kind of network marketing in its whole, someone just comes in, they're listening to this podcast, they're interested in what network marketing is. What would you say, or what kind of advice would you have after someone that's been here for a long time? What kind of advice would you have to someone that's just starting? Today's their first day and they're like, what is the one piece of advice that you'd give me?
So if you're very first day into network marketing, I think the biggest thing that I would say is make sure that you do genuinely love the product or the service that you're representing. And, you know, there's obviously so many things about, you know, get a great mentor and you know, get to events. Because I'm a male with an ego, I didn't get to events for a while because I know more than the company owners, right? Like, what would they know? But I think one of the biggest things, and it's so funny because people have that objection of, oh, I don't like network marketing because you got to buy your own products. It's like, well, if you went to the gym and you got a personal trainer, you would want that personal trainer to at least also go to the gym. They don't have to be, you know, beach.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have to be Arnold Schwarzenegger or swimsuit model or anything, but they've got to at least use the gym to then show you how to use the gym. You know, in the same way, you've got to go the way before you can show the way in anything. So if you genuinely love your products, you come across with authenticity, you come across with energy, you come across with passion, we come back to those innate character traits that are so valuable. And then I can teach you the business model, because the business model is fairly simple. At the end of the day, it's online franchising. It's like there's a head franchisor and you have your own online franchise. Okay. And you build it to an extent however you want. There's some templates here and there's some framework that we sit you in depending on how you want to build it. But make sure that you genuinely love what you represent, because if you don't, it's inauthentic. People are going to smell that. You know, I did neuroanatomy when I was going through university, and there's a little thing like just in the little back of the brain, and it's called a bullshit detector. And we all have this very finely tuned Aussies. It seems to be bigger in Aussies, but the reality is, if you're saying, oh, use this product, I don't use it, and I don't actually like really think it's that good, but you should use it. Doesn't matter what a good salesperson you are, doesn't matter how good your compensation plan is, doesn't matter how much money your company has in the bank, what level of ground floor opportunity it is, you have to love what you represent. And if you don't, you're not going to have the long-term success, and you're going to bounce around and you're going to lose a few friends.
And you're going to lose credibility as well. I mean, like for myself, we've been in one business, we chose a business and we love it. We love the products, we love the business, we love the people, we love everything about it. I've seen through my years in this industry now, people flip companies for good reason, maybe, right? But then I see them flip again. And then you start to question yourself, is it the company or is it you? Mm. Is it how you're bringing up your kind of day-to-day and how you're running your business? Because I can tell you one thing, it's not the company's fault that you're having issues. It's that, like you said, you weren't going to events because you were male and you're stubborn. People are stubborn in their own business because they don't want to listen to someone that's already done it, right? And when we lose that credibility, it's really, really hard to gain it back. And that's why when people have a business and they want to become credible, you need to kind of make sure that you are making the right decisions for yourself.
Yeah, it's the theme, isn't it? Is that, well, for some people, it's boring to be in the same company for 10 years. There's a negative energy to the word boring, but I love my wife. I don't want to be with anyone else. And if that means, you know, we sit around on the couch on a Tuesday evening, just, you know, talking about somewhat boring stuff, it's not always beautiful holidays and romantic dinners. Yeah. It's not like that 24/7, right? You have to embrace the boring. And, you know, we talk about like a fish hook, like a drama hook, like people can be like, oh, drama. Oh, and they like, mm-hmm. you know, they get pulled away by this fish hook in their mouth and like, oh, look, something over there. There's something flashy.
Squirrel.
Yeah. And it's like you say, it's not that, you know, it's okay if the very first place you land isn't the place that you end up with, but mm-hmm. it's a matter of, okay, look, you know what? I've been doing this for a little bit. It's just not vibing. I'm going to move on. It's when you like stick around and you build and then you disappear and then you build somewhere else and then you disappear and then you build somewhere else and then you disappear. It's like, you're going to really lose that credibility. So find something that, again, you genuinely fall in love with and the business model is easy and you'll have that grit determination to get through the days when it is, because there's always wall kicking days. And we thought about quitting many, many times in the early days. But we love what we're doing. We love the community we're in. And that's what gets you to stick through the tough times.
Completely agree. And there's always going to be mistakes along the way. Nobody's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. And that's why, like, one thing I really want to ask is, what was a big mistake that you made? Or what was something that you've seen that people make as a mistake going through the progression of their business?
I think, again, probably one of the biggest mistakes I made early was thinking that I knew everything and not listening to my upline, not listening to the company owners, all that kind of stuff. But I think if there's a couple of big, big challenges in the network marketing industry, one is that we set a lot of people up for failure because we have these catchy phrases and like, everyone's going to want this. You don't even need to sell it. It will sell itself. Everyone's going to want it. And then, oh, hey, by the way, 9 out of 10 people are going to say no. And we're going to teach you how to overcome objections. And we're going to teach you how to sell. And, you know, you got to show up. Like we set people up with these expectations that you just put a few posts up on your wall and people are going to buy it off.
It's that fake talk about, you can just post a couple times and then all of a sudden you'll be on the beach for the rest of your life. It's like, that's not how the world works. So why should this business work any different than how the world works?
People will just magically come to you. But the thing that I'm really passionate about, the thing that I see is the biggest challenge. And again, is if we're going to sell freedom and this financial freedom opportunity, we have to tell both sides of the story. Story number one is, well, part A is, how do you make money in this business? And part B is, how do you send your money off to go and make money? How do you manage and multiply your money? And I know it's because we came in a little bit back the front where I had spent 10 years trying to figure out how to invest and create money and do all this kind of stuff. And we were on this pathway to wealth, but it was just such a slow car that we were in. And then again, like once I realized, hang on, network marketing is not the destination. Network marketing is just this incredibly fast car. And I can drive this car super quickly because we already had money invested into property and stocks at the time. But we see people so quickly, the second they make some money, they want to celebrate it. And especially in a social media world, they want to upgrade the car. They want to take a holiday straight away. They want to start living this lifestyle and they want to quit their job immediately. And it's like, well, I was making $100,000 here and then I made $100,000 here, so I quit. It's like, no, you were making $200,000 there for a little bit. Like that, you just halved your income overnight. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why don't you put 100,000 of that to work while you still keep working, you know, ease your way out, all that kind of stuff. So A super quick story. I remember there was a lady in our company who was a professional athlete. So she was sponsored by Jeep. And whenever you hit a certain rank, it was like, you got the phone call. It's like, hey, do you want a Jeep? Like, you know, she'd like, you would like, you sort of knew once you hit this certain rank, you'd get the phone call of like, hey, you should buy a Jeep. And all these top earners are buying these new Jeeps. And Angie and I are driving these, you know, 10-year-old piece of shits because we're like, oh, no, we'd rather buy two or three more properties before we upgrade the car. Like, we're just happy with these cars. We're happy with our cash flow situation as it is. We're not sending ourselves into crazy debt until we get our investments like 100% rock solid. So that to me is probably the biggest thing that most people get stuck in. And when people say to me, network marketing ruined me financially, I always, like, you spent $200-$300 to get started. Network marketing didn't ruin you. You made some money and you overcapitalized, you over leveraged yourself thinking that you were going to make that money for the rest of your life, and you sent yourself spiraling into debt.
Yeah. And I'll truly never understand that. I will truly never understand that conversation of, I lost money in network marketing and it was the network marketing that lost me money. When I, at the end of the day, like for us, for our business right now, you can start your business for $69 and you could buy a thing of greens and you could literally create a business that makes you money right away. And you can get your money back from that after literally making a couple sales. Then you're at square, you're at zero. So I don't know how you could possibly lose money. I've never been able to complete that. And I was a business analyst and I was quite good at mathematics when it came to business. That one never made any sense to me.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, you celebrated too soon. You took your foot off the pedal too soon. Again, you went looking for the exciting and you stopped doing the methodical. And unfortunately, that's where, you know, I've just seen so many top earners walk across the stage. And in the early days, we're sitting in the crowd, like watching these people like, wow. And then next year, like, hang on, what happened to half those people that were there last year? They're like, oh, they quit. It's like, what? Or, you know, oh, you know, they're back working because they, you know, they took on too much debt and stuff like that. Never in those words, but that's the reality.
Yeah. But that's the end of it, right? So to kind of wrap everything up, okay, for this kind of conversation around network marketing and everything, looking ahead from where you've been to where you are now, and then looking ahead to the future, what really excites you about this industry? And kind of like, what are you looking for this industry to be headed in?
Yeah, I think it's a really fascinating time at the moment for the industry because, you know, we had that COVID spike and sort of everyone, COVID kind of punched people in the face of, again, like your income isn't that reliable, your income isn't that safe, and everyone was moving around. And the biggest challenge that we have at the moment right now is then because of that, a lot of other options came in. And you know, I talk about Generation S, like the generation of the side hustle. And, you know, there's more than just network marketing out there. There's all these affiliate marketing and evolutions and variations and stuff like that. So the reality is, I think the next few years we will see there will be like a sort of recession to an extent where a lot of companies don't make it because there was this huge flood in and we've got to come back a little bit. But like anything, the strong survive. And, you know, it's through like the dot-com crash that like the Apples really and the Googles come out of it. And we really see this next generation. So I think the network marketing industry does need to evolve a little bit because, again, the whole social media and how we do commerce and how everything works has evolved. So we're going to see the industry evolve a little bit and we've got outside competition. But with that, I think, again, we're going to see this really great evolution of better compensation plans, stronger companies coming out of it. And that's what really excites me personally. You know, I'm in my 40s now and I really see like my 20s was all about the life experiences between, you know, trying to travel the world, trying to see the world and doing all these things that where I went broke and made mistakes. My 30s was that really grind of building a business and making our first million and then, you know, our first millions. And now I really see like this aligning with us coming out. It's going to be a really exciting decade of like really what's ahead. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I think like anything, there's got to be a little bit of, you know, weeding the garden and, you know, just coming back a little bit because we just got flooded there for a bit.
Yep. No, I completely agree with that. And I love that kind of that answer and that understanding of like the strong are going to survive throughout the lifetime. And that's why companies that have been around for a long time will continue to stay around as long as they evolve with it. Well, Andrew, honestly, this has been such an awesome conversation. It gets me super, super excited to be able to talk to other men that are in this industry and have shown that this industry works. This industry works for people who are willing to put in the work. And today has been an awesome conversation. So what I want to know, and I want my listeners to know, is where can they find you?
Best place, andrewlogan.net is like the sort of landing page there where there's the link to all the socials. Cause yeah, I've got a podcast and a YouTube channel with a lot of, you know, a lot of free info out there. And then my Facebook and Instagram on there as well. And there's some extra free tools there if you need a bit of help building your business, like PDFs and videos and stuff. They're the simplest ways. You know, I have my podcast, which is The Way Out. My book is The Way Out. They're the things that to me is really help trying to show people and help them with that roadmap to get out of the 9-to-5 in the same way I did. And again, that's the simplest place is just to go to andrewlogan.net.
Sounds good. What I'll do is I'll put that in the show notes in the description. And if you guys like this episode and you guys want to hear more about network marketing and business in general and have these kind of conversations, like it, share it, and leave a review, because it literally means the world to us when you do this. And cannot wait to see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It is our mission to help as many people truly thrive in all aspects of their life. It honestly means the world to us that you are here.
If you got any value, support, or takeaways from today's episode, the best thing that you can do is screenshot this episode and share it to your social media. Or you can leave us a review below. We read every single one.
If you are looking for additional support or resources, check the episode details below or send us a message on Instagram. We would love to connect.